Does it take a village to make a writer? Maybe. But if it does, ultimately, the writer is on their own when it comes to the actual work and career. Hey, it's me, Bob Jeschonek, USA Today best-selling author of science fiction, fantasy, crime, mystery, humor, comics, you name it, all kinds of stuff. And I'm back with another edition of the Introverted Exhibitionist podcast. Actually, it's number 35. That came around fast. Glad to be here. Glad to be talking to you again. I just wanted to drop by and chat a bit, try to keep up the thread here with the podcast, because it's easy to just sort of let it go by the wayside, because life is very busy sometimes more than other times. Lately, it's been extraordinarily crazy for me, I have to say. And I'm still kind of adjusting to some of the changes that have happened in my world, and trying to get used to incorporating them into my routine. And I don't want to go into too much detail, but yeah, things have been a little on the nutty side. Yes, indeed, to say the least. And it's been a challenge, frankly, to keep the writing going, which, you know, is to be expected. This time of year is always a little bit difficult because of the nice weather, or the nicer weather, I should say, especially in this part of the country where I live, western central Pennsylvania, which can be kind of intemperate much of the year. It can be inhospitable during the winter. And then in the summer, it gets nice again, usually, if it stays that way, which it kind of cuts in and out. It just depends on the year. But when you get that nice weather, you want to make the most of it. So everybody who lives around here is on the same general schedule. We all run around like idiots this time of year trying to get everything done outside, whatever work has to be done to our homes or our yards or apartments or whatever. This is the time when we do that. So anyway, it can be a little difficult to keep caught up with the writing to begin with. This is also coming up on vacation season. So if you take trips, it can put a dent in the writing, can make it difficult. I know my mentor, Dean Wesley Smith, calls it the time of forgetting, or the time of great forgetting, I think is what he calls it. Meaning that many writers let their writing go by the wayside in the summer months. Right now, actually, it's June of 2023 as I'm recording this. And I think there's some truth to what Dean says, because it's very, very easy to let it go by the wayside and do other stuff. And to an extent, I think that's perfectly justifiable. Life is short, and summer is much shorter, especially in a place like this, where it's summer can be hit or miss at best. And so when you have the time and you have the nice weather, I mean, I think it's kind of incumbent upon you to get out and enjoy it some, if you have any regard for the outdoors at all, if you like to take a bike ride, as I do, or you like to run, as I do, or any kind of outdoor activity. This is, you know, I think you really should try to get out and get some fresh air. Because if you just sit at that keyboard all the time, day in, day out, which is easy to do if you're a writer and you want to succeed, you want to make the most of your time, it's easy to just stay glued to that keyboard. If you just do that all the time, I think, I don't know if that's a great thing. I think it takes over your life if you let it, just like anything, right? I don't think that's an uncommon phenomenon in our world, in our lives, to let one thing sort of leap out and take command and just soak up all the time, soak up all the oxygen. It's easy to let writing do that because you become obsessed. You want to succeed. Sometimes if you have a little bit of success, you want to succeed even more. Sometimes if you don't have success, you want to succeed all the more. You want to push harder. It just depends what kind of personality you have. But it is very true that it can just like suck up your life. And man, like I said, life is short. So when you got some nice weather and you got opportunities to go do things and enjoy yourself, I say do it. I say do it. Pay the price later. But you should also try to keep the writing going, if at all possible. And I think that's a good thing. So anyway, I'm in that kind of time right now. But this time has gotten out of control for me for other reasons, not necessarily all related to the nice weather. Things have just been a challenge, shall we say. But I'm trying to keep things going, and I have some projects on the burners right now that I'm working on. In fact, I'm getting ready to collaborate with one of my favorite authors and friends, Annie Reed. We're working on a sequel to the Gray Lady novel that we wrote last year, which was called Gray Lady Rising. And this is the sequel. We're writing it for the Women in Space Opera story bundle, which will debut August 16th. And that's something I'm going to be talking about a lot more as that comes closer, because it's going to be a great bundle. Oh my God, we've got such a great group of authors, and they are so professional, and they have such great work. You will love it so much if you like space opera at all, or you just like good writing and good reading. It's going to be a real bomb. Excuse me. I don't mean bomb. I mean, it's going to be the bomb. Anyway, yeah. You can tell I'm a little tired, I think. So let's get back to the subject at hand. I'm still cracking up at my non sequitur just now, or malaprop, rather. See, and then I just made another malaprop. Let's go back to the subject at hand, which is, does it take a village to make a writer? And I think there's some truth to that idea. I think it does somewhat take a lot of people to create a person who is creative and succeeds as a creative force. So I think there's some truth to that. I mean, we as individuals are really given life by our parents, our families. We're shaped for better or for worse by them, by the people we meet in our lives, and by the mentors that we encounter, by the friends we encounter in our chosen field, in our chosen pursuit, which for me and for the purposes of this conversation is writing, creativity. So I believe strongly that it does take a village, and it takes people to help you to succeed in different ways. For example, it might take a partner who's making it possible for you to have the time to work on your writing. It might take a partner to do some cooking, cleaning, take care of the kids, whatever. Make things possible for you to have the time to write. So you should never underestimate that. And I do believe that that's really important. It takes family, it takes friends, it takes mentors. Never, ever underestimate the value of a great mentor and a great friend, especially an author friend. People who can help you to learn and develop as a writer, to pick up new skills that can fuel your work, fuel your life, make you a better writer, a better person, and also to give you the encouragement to keep going when things get difficult, because they will. No matter who you are, excuse me, things will get difficult at some point. I talked about dry spells in the last podcast, and indeed, that can happen to you no matter what stage of your writing career you're in. So it's really important, I think, to have good mentors and good author friends who can encourage you and keep you going, even when you maybe start to waver in your path. Not that that ever happens, but it does. I think there's some truth to that saying that it takes a village to raise a writer, to make a writer. But by the same token, in the end, when it comes down to it, when the rubber meets the road, the writer is still a solitary figure. You are on your own. You are on your own as a writer, in the chair, doing the work. Even if you're collaborating with someone on a project, you are still on the front line, writing by yourself, maybe passing the work to the collaborator, getting work back from them, whatever, but you are still on your own to create the text on the screen or on the page. Still up to you. You are yourself. You are self-contained as a writer. So even if it takes other people to help to give you the space you need or to make you the writer you want to be, the writer you are, the person you want to be, the person you are, you are still a lone figure, no matter what. In the end, it's you sitting there in front of that screen with the keyboard, typing. That's what it is. That's what writing is. And it's easy to forget that, I think. It's easy to think, well, other people can help me to succeed. Other people can give me a leg up. Other people can buy my work, can support me, can push me up the hill. Now, these are all things that can happen. These are all things that are great when they happen, but they don't always happen. Make no mistake, writing is not some kind of magic world in which people will just line up and fall all over themselves to give you all the filthy lucre you can handle and to boost you up, make you a bestseller, make you the king of the hill that you deserve to be. I mean, they're all scrambling to try to keep their careers going, too. That's one of the great secrets of writing. No matter how accomplished an author might seem to be, they are still fighting every day to keep it afloat. They are still fighting all the time. No matter how self-assured they seem to be, no matter how much they seem to have it made, no matter how much they brag about how much money they're making, how many books they're selling, how great their tour is going, how many millions of fans they've gotten, how much they love their life, no matter how great they say they are. And there are a lot of people out there who like to talk about how great they are. Make no mistake, you've probably seen some of them online. I'll bet you have. No matter how great they are, they say they are. They are still fighting the same fight that you are. They're putting their best face forward. They're trying to make people think, hey, this guy's got something going on. This person's got something going on. They are great. They deserve to be there. And there's nothing wrong with that to an extent. You know, if we don't promote ourselves, who's going to do it? But that gets back to my point, which is that we are on our own in the end as writers. It's easy to forget. Sometimes it's easy to think, well, so-and-so can put me over the top. So-and-so can boost me up. All I need to do is sell another story. All I need to do is sell another book to a publisher, and that's going to put me over the top. All I need to do is get an agent, and the agent is going to give me the golden key, the golden ticket to Wonka's chocolate factory. It's called copyright Willy Wonka and Roald Dahl, 2023. Whoever owns that, I don't know. Penguin or somebody. I'm not sure who owns it, but whatever. Not trying to interfere with anybody's copyright there. But, you know, it's easy to think that somebody holds the key because, you know, we've all had these myths drilled into us over the years, especially if you've been around for a little while and you've seen different movies or TV shows or read books about writers or talked to writers at conventions or conferences and heard them tell their stories. Sometimes it's easy to get the idea that an agent or an editor or a magical mentor can put you over the top, can be the key to your success. And it's not entirely untrue, right? If you get somebody who loves your work and decides, yeah, this person deserves to climb ahead of everybody else in the world of writing. They deserve to be elevated. Well, sure, that can help you, okay? But it's a rarity. It doesn't happen every day. And you shouldn't expect it to happen every day. What you should do, what I am trying to do, is to do the work as a solitary person, as a solitary figure, at the keyboard, writing the words, words on the page, There are no shortcuts. That's what I'm trying to get to. That's really the point of this. And it's easy to think there are shortcuts. It's easy to wish there were shortcuts. I wish there were shortcuts. You know, it would be great, wouldn't it? If like on TV or in a movie, you get a phone call from the guy you just sent your manuscript to or the person you just sent your manuscript to, and they say, you know what? You've got what it takes. I'm going to push you up the hill right now. You're going to be a bestseller, and you're going to have it made. And the next thing you know, cut to 3 months later, and you're on world tour, sipping martinis, smoking cigars or whatever, and you are having the time of your life, and people are saying, sign my book, sign my book. Oh, I love your work. Oh, you're great. Because this is one of the myths that we've been fed over the years. But it's a myth, man. It doesn't happen that often. It happens sometimes. And even when it does happen, right? Even when it does happen, there is a boatload of work that happened before that took effect. So it's never as simple as it seems. It's never as simple as some people would have us think it is. Right? That you just magically send your story out, you magically send your book to the editor or the agent or whoever, or the screenwriter or the magical director or producer, and they say, you are incredible. I want to work with you, kid. You are going to be a number one bestseller, or my name isn't such and such. You know? And this is not sour grapes on my part. This is not an unrealistic statement on my part. I think other authors will verify this as having some truth. But there is no shortcut. There is no shortcut. Okay? It's a daily, daily, daily battle to do the work. And you're on your own when you're doing the work. You're in the chamber. You're in the chute, as I like to say. By yourself, nobody else. Even if you're collaborating with somebody, you're probably not sitting there going back and forth like, what do you think for word number six? What do you think for sentence number three? I mean, you're doing some work, you're passing it back and forth maybe, but it's still you. It's still you. You are the only one with true power. Now, the great thing now is that you have many more outlets for your work than you used to have. Okay, if you were a writer in the 60s, 50s, even the 70s, even into the 80s, you didn't have as many outlets. You had more gatekeepers between you and the reader. So it was more difficult in some ways. Unless you happen to be one of the lucky few at the top, it was more difficult in some ways to succeed because you had limited options, okay? There were more publishers. There were more and more varied publishing houses and, you know, bigger, there were big publishers, mid-level publishers, small press publishers. There were a lot of different options there, okay? And also there were, I think there were more fiction markets maybe. Well, no, maybe not. But short fiction markets, there were a lot of different short fiction markets. There were different ways in. But still, I think if you compared them to what we have today, you would still be hard pressed to say there were a lot more options back then because it just, that wasn't the case. And there were fewer people who were in charge and it was harder. There weren't as many ways for you to break through. Now you've got the internet, man, and you've got loads of short fiction markets. Not all of them pay a lot. Some do. You have publishers of different sizes, but they make it more difficult now for you to succeed, for you to make a living as a writer. However, you can publish your work yourself as an indie author, or whatever you want to call that kind of author. You can publish it yourself through Amazon's KDP system, or Barnes & Noble, or Apple, Kobo, Direct to Digital, Publish Drive, Streetlib, Smashwords. I mean, there are so many different outlets for your work. Google Play. There are just so many different ways that you can get your work out there. And you can publish your own work in multiple formats as an ebook, an audiobook, right? a paperback, a hardback, a specialty hardback with special features like, you know, deckled edges of the pages. There are signed editions, electronically signed editions. I mean, there's so many different things that you can do now. You could not do those in the past, or you could, but in a much more limited way and with much more financial responsibility up front, because now you don't have to pay up front necessarily to get your work out there. Now somebody's going to get a piece of it when you make a sale. It's not, you know, all 100% profit to you. No, that would be nice. But you don't have to pay up front. In the old days, they had what they called vanity publishing. And you could pay a publisher, or you could pay a printer to print your books. And then they would print them and they would sell them directly to you. You'd buy a couple cartons, put them in your garage, and then sell them, hand sell them yourself, door to door, or to friends and family, or however you wanted to do it. But it was a challenge, and there was a financial obligation up front, and it was just, man, it was a struggle. Some people did it and succeeded at it in one way or another, but it was not easy. And today, it's not easy in other ways because it's so difficult to get your work recognized, to get it seen, because there is so much work out there now, and there are all these different ways to publish. And discoverability is like a major challenge. So we have our own battles now. But at least you can fight them, and you can do it yourself as a solitary figure, as the lone writer, as we were always meant to do ever since the days of the cavemen, the cave people, out there scrawling their sagas of battling mastodons and saber-tooths on the walls of Lascaux, France, you know, telling their stories. It was always a solitary thing. And it still is. So it's, I guess what I'm trying to get to here is that I don't want you to be discouraged. I want you to be encouraged because you have the option to do it yourself, to make yourself by force of will, by creative energy, and by all the tools at your disposal through the internet, which you can figure out yourself so much more easily than you ever could before. You have so much more access, so many more entry points, so many more ways. It can be overwhelming. There are so many ways to succeed, right? Because it is incumbent on you to do this yourself. But at least you can. You don't have to toil your entire life in solitary, abject, unrecognized, impoverished, lone solitude. I'm being redundant. I couldn't find the right word that I was reaching for there. But I mean, you don't have to just do that. You don't just have to like sit and write in a garret. Like if your work doesn't get recognized quickly by the right gatekeeper at the right time, you're not condemned to a life of obscurity. There you go. That's the word I was reaching for. I knew I'd get it sooner or later. You can now at least have somebody out there read your work. And I can almost guarantee that if you present your work in a professional way and you have some kind of energy to it, some kind of voice that you put into the work, and you don't try to like lock it down too hard and you don't try to overthink it or over perfect it, right? If you don't try to polish it too much, if you just try to do something creative and inventive and also do it in a professional way with a great professional cover and get all the details just right and get it out there, I can almost guarantee somebody somewhere is going to buy that work, that book or that collection of stories or whatever. It will happen. It's just there's so many people out there looking for work. They want to be entertained. And you can do it. We can do it. But it's important to remember that it's always just you. Okay? You have common allies who can help you. You have friends who can help you. It takes a village to make it possible, right? To make you possible as a writer. But it takes you, Only you can do the work. Only you can actually move from a nothing to a success. And you should never expect other people to make you a success. And you should not feel bitter when they don't, because they're trying just as hard every doggone day to keep their boat afloat. And they might not admit it, but they are. They're struggling just like you are. Because creative work is not simple work. It's not easy. It's not something you can pin down and people would have you believe it is. Oh, there's a formula, my friend. Just follow the dots, connect the dots. Follow the formula. Apply my special technique. I can make you succeed. They will tell you that this can be, you know, that this can happen. But make no mistake, it is not that simple. It is not that simple. And everybody is fighting the same fight every day, and we're all doing it ourselves. We're all shadow boxing, baby. We're all just grinding out the work, trying to stay sane, trying to stay encouraged, trying to keep our blank together, and trying to, you know, still maintain some sense of joy in the work, even as we recognize that we are alone on the precipice generating the work. But there's some freedom in recognizing that. There's some freedom in realizing nobody else is going to do it for you. Nobody. Nobody else. They could. It's possible, but highly unlikely. And you should never expect it. Because then if it does happen, well, all the better. And I'm not saying be an eternal cynic. I'm not saying just be a pessimist. I'm saying be a realist. Be a worker. Be a writer. Be a freaking writer. Because it's a glorious thing to be. It is a wonderful thing to have that ability to truly write something creative, to do something different, do something that's never been done before in exactly the same way. It might be similar to something that's been done before, but not quite the same, because it's your voice. It's you. You. Don't quit. Keep writing. You keep writing. Get in that chair, put your hands on a keyboard, and do the work. Don't wait for anybody else. Don't be discouraged if you're rejected, because you will be. Don't be discouraged if you're poorly reviewed, because at some point you will be, no matter who you are. Don't be discouraged if people try to make you feel bad or don't understand you, don't understand what you're doing, because they won't. And they will say stuff that's going to bother you. Don't be discouraged if the world doesn't beat a path to you and circle you and sing kumbaya and lift you up and make you the dream writer that you deserve to be. And don't be discouraged if you hear from certain folks that they are God's gift to the written word, and that they never had to struggle or fight, and that they are on top of the world, and that they never flounder, and that they never fail, and that they never falter, because it ain't true. It is not true. They are just like you, fighting a fight every day, alone, alone on the precipice. But a great thing is, we all know it. We all know it about each other. We don't talk about it all the time, which is why I wanted to talk about it here. Let's get it out there so that we can all look around and say, oh, hey, there's my friend over there on that precipice. I know them. That's a good writer. Hey, there's another one over on another precipice. And we're all writing at the same time. We're all doing the work because we know that we've got the dream, we've got the talent, and we've got the stick-to-itiveness, the determination. We've got the power. And it is a rare thing in this life to have a dream and a vision and a voice and a power, and to be able to utilize them with very little interference from anyone else trying to block you, trying to get in your way. It is a very precious, rare thing indeed, and you should never, ever give up on it or let it go. Just remember, you're alone, and so am I, and it's a glorious freaking thing. All right, that's all I have to say. Thanks again for being here on the Introverted Exhibitionist podcast. I hope to talk to you again sometime soon, and just remember, whatever it is that gives you joy, as long as you're not hurting somebody else, I hope you'll do it. If it's art, then continue to practice your art. If it's writing, continue to write. If it's music, continue to perform. Whatever it is, as long as you're not hurting somebody else or denigrating someone else, please keep it up. Don't give up, because you're not alone, really. But you are, but you aren't, but you are, but you aren't. You're on the precipice, and I'm looking at you right now. I'm not, you know, literally looking at you. Here's looking at you, writer. I'm starting to get goofy. I think it's time to wrap this up. Thanks again for joining me here on the Introverted Exhibitionist podcast.